Dr., why aren't we putting 60-40? Why aren't we putting the 60-40 like this?
It's too complex. Do it on an equal basis, and then, of course, you know how much more you get.
What's better the other way?
Well, the other way, you know, the numbers don't add up to 2 and 2. I don't get them right, so I got to keep it simple so I can be the technique master. 40. So you make, you got $10.40. This is the worst scenario we've got. Divide 10.40 by 40. What's that? 25%. Now, how many articles and books do you people read on horse racing? Does anybody know who was it Howard Rowe or Robert Rowe? One of those guys. He was the editor of American Turf Monthly.
Howard Rowe.
Howard Rowe, and he writes for the New Magazine now, but what they call it. I gave it to you as a present, what do they call it?
Racing action.
An article in Racing Action, which we will see repeated in essence in the following, was said by this professional, and he's a top professional for 46 years, that the most you can expect out of racing at your most expert, whether you play exactas, win only, or across the board, or however you play, the most ROI you can expect in a lifetime, folks, is 20%. Dick Mitchell wrote a book. He wrote it several times about it. Then gives lectures and writes articles. And he says that if you can do 20% ROI, you are living in horse players' nirvana. You are in Valhalla. You have reached the ultimate. 20% is what everybody should aspire to. Barry Meadows, who says that if you can't go for 3 and 4 months in a row without winning, it, that's no big deal. And that the best professionals only do between 12 and 14%. Anyone who tells you different is a liar. He says 14%, although he's talking about 14% overall, overcoming those great losing streaks he seems to have. So here's our pitiful, our most weeping, crying, I am not making type of client, who is doing 5% better than their bond. Now, is something wrong somewhere? Have we spoiled you by raising expectations so much that if you don't make 50% on, you know, your investment, that you're not happy? Or is it that you are squandering your money and not receiving the full benefit of that 25%? You're putting a little side bet here, and exactly here, you're not counting that. You wonder why you go home with less money in your pockets than you went through it. If you're doing 25%, you're doing 5% better than the experts tell us, is nirvana. Well, we don't believe the experts anyway. Let's take this person. What's 6.3 times 9?
It's 6.7.
That's a 6.7. That's 1670 divided by 40. What's that ROI? We bet 40, so we made 1670, so you divide 1670 by 40.
4175.
4175. ROI. Now that person is twice as good as the experts tell us the best is. Is that person happy? I'm only doing 63% with a night in the shoe, isn't it? And this is what you're doing. You know that? Well, you're a New Yorker. You know it. New Yorkers are smarter than the rest of us because they evacuate themselves out of a jungle, and you give them an edge, they'll take it. Because they don't. They get, people who live in jungles don't get too much of an edge. I was born there, so I can talk to you. I was born in Brooklyn. Jimmy calls all Okies dumb, but that's because he's from Oklahoma. He knows they're not.
Okay, now let's take this marvelous scenario we have here. When you do $12 mutual, do you do 63%? Whoever called that one out.
You do?
Good for you. Multiply 12 times 6.3.
75, 60.
That's 20. How much is that? 35, 60 profit. 35, 60 profit, right? Right?
Right.
Okay. Now, what's the ROI on that?
89%
98%? 89. Okay. That means every time you put a dollar through, win or lose, you get $1.89 back. That's outstanding. I had a fellow the first week he used a new program we sent in San Francisco who did 228, and the next week he leveled back down to about 160. You'll keep an average in the 50% bracket. You know what that means? That means that you are getting more return on your money than the Rockefellers and the Kennedys, Ole Cassini and whoever else, Ed Reed. He is dead.
Yes.
You missed him somewhere. That's the highest return on investment that you can imagine. So people getting these kinds of returns on investment and not making a lot of money, they still have to keep a job. What do you imagine they're doing wrong? One, they're not confident they've got $2. Two, they lose three races in a row and they run home and wonder what they're doing wrong and decide to start up all over again and go back to square one. I have one fellow who loses three races in a row and changes the program. You gotta lose three. You wanna win three in a row? You gotta lose three in a row. Don't be scared to lose. Losing is just a portent of winning. I love to lose. Because it makes my anxiety, it releases all my anxiety about losing. You worry about losing, don't you? Yeah. So you lose and you don't worry about it anymore. You die. Hey, I'm serious. Tough on you from deep psychological insights. Why do people commit suicide? Because they have a terrible fear of dying. So they get it over with. We don't have to die by losing. We have a terrible fear of losing, go out and lose the race. Damn, I lost the race. That means I'm going to win the race. Bet more. Hey, you can't win without losing. Nobody can. Marion Jones goes 10 in a row quite frequently, but he loses 3 and 4 in a row, too. We all do. The guy who gets an anxiety in a row is after he loses one race, and then a deeper one after two, and goes into absolute trauma after three losses, and calls me up. I go, but of course, I think people in there crying on the couch because they're in this bracket. And I look at their records and I say, look, why are you here? You're doing 5%. And all they need is me to tell them, oh, I am. I'm 5% better than I am. Oh, God, they go out after me. We don't understand, most of us, the reality. We don't understand that this is not a gambler. Gambler says, I want to go to the race. I'm going to make $5,000 today. And he plunges. He does all sorts of weird things. And he loses $500. The guy who really wins at this game plays them as they lay and takes those big payoffs when they come. And he accepts the 8, the 9, the 10, 740s if necessary when they come. In every 20 race cycle, you will have three winners. This is history now. This is the history of this methodology for 14 years. You will have three that win over 20. And you'll have one that wins over 40. Anybody found that not to be true? They can play consecutively. That's not about what
it's about the way it's sitting.
That's what will happen. You can play consecutive. Now, if you only go on Saturday, remember you're not going to have that happen once a week. It's going to happen less frequently because you're playing on a lower mutual day.
We hit four daily doubles in a row. We went home kind of early. Then all of a sudden, the next day, we lost four races and then the $70 horse popped. And it's like, this is worse.
Yeah, too many people are testing and not betting. Stop stop testing the bed. Let us test. We do the testing. Here's a man that went 4 for 5 the other day, and he's only been with us a few weeks, but the first day I met him, he came in 1 for 5. I was wondering, well, he was nice about it. He didn't say he was wondering, but in his heart, he was wondering whether then all this was worth it.
Why became it? Because he became a 50% winner?
That's no, great. He only won 1 out of 5.
Oh, but
he won 4 out of 5.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I got an old thing, you know, I love this old thing. Guy once told me when I was a kid, 15 years old, when I started playing horses, he says, if I got you to be an 80% winner or a 90% winner, would you be happy? And I said, gee, would I be happy? He says, okay, let's pick 1,000 races, but you're going to lose the first 100. And it sunk in. But you lost the first 100. How about the next 900 that you're going to win? Because
right.
Nobody knows where they come.
If you do it consistently, if you bet, you learn more from betting. Whether it's $2 or $20 or $200, you learn more about betting from betting than you learn from doing it on paper. And there's no anxiety. This method was tested in Mexico, in Vegas, in Reno, with a minimum $1 bet. You can make $1 bets than those that make $1 bet on one and $2 bet on the other. $3 a race. If you lost several hundred races, it adds up. But that's the only way to test something with real money, because then you're testing not only the figures, you're testing the emotion. Cannot. The guy who teaches handicapping, he tells you that he has no emotional concern to go all day losing. He's probably selling his method to you for a whole lot, so he doesn't mind go all day losing. But I mind. I like to lose a race, but I don't like to lose the races. So you really all are better off than you thought you were. Even my friend in the polo shirt back there, who did so much to advance our methodology by losing money. Jay Elliott probably did as much to enhance this methodology, losing money, testing something that he proved was not as superior is what he helped us develop, as anybody. We should probably tie it and send you $1,000.
One bridal genius would load 500 in the front row, $5,000 in the zoom like that.
Jay has been through the test of fire and now is coming back nicely. Jay was betting wrong, he knows it. He was going for broke on exactas, had the winner of the third place horse. Things like that. So let's talk about other than when.
Play a Jerry's Nugget to give your money back on a 1-3.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Now you got it. Jim, now you can be up to 100%.
I'm looking for you.
Now you go up to 100%.
Boy, you get a lot of body back.
Boy, 1-3. You can get your second bet free. That cuts your losses down right there.
Like 100%.
What was going on? How are you before that total closing? What was the worst ROI? 25%?
25%.
What you do is you just type in your bankroll and we'll take $1,000.
Oh, let's take $300. I like that. All right,
let's pay $300. Okay. That's a title. And then a percent of bank, 10%.
10%.
And ROI, 25%.
ROI, 25.
And look at it after 100 races.
100 races.
100 races. Now, this is what it's going to do. It takes a while. It's going to do something 100 times. It's a tiny little program. I mean, this
random
is.
General.
I just typed it in. This is the entire program. And your new bank, after 100 races, starting from $300, is $3,544. What's the 25% on?
That takes you about a month to track, 2 weeks in Vegas. Make $3,000 betting with having no more than $300 to start.
That's
how many of us do that in fact?
Wow.
I do. Well, believe me, I go over there for 2 weeks to get my daughter a car once. Now she's buying me a car. She needed a car that cost $3,680. Took me 2 full weeks plus 5 additional days. 19 days.
Where did you start
with? I don't like to start big because if you start big, your debts go up tremendously. The third day, you're weeping. I think I took two profits in that period. I didn't play it.
And Vegas has some restrictions of track, doesn't it?
Probably the DS started with 2,000.
2,000? You wouldn't.
No, say 1,000.
Okay, we'll do it with 1,000, but let me tell you something. You're not going to make the bet, but let's do it with 1,000.
Okay.
With that minimum ROI, you won't make the bet. You won't be able to make them in Vegas.
No, let's use your okay, you want to start with $1,000. All right, we started with $1,000. How much of your bank do you want to bet? 10%?
Right.
Okay, 10%. What's your ROI?
20.
You shouldn't be guessing at this. Okay. You should know that ROI. That's something you really should know.
You want to hard road.
How many races do you want to run?
100.
Okay. Well, what you're doing, you're taking 20% profit on $1,000 after 100 races, which is, depends on how wild you are. Play 8 a day, you'll get there a lot sooner than if you play 3 a day, obviously.
How are you making that 50% on each one?
You're taking 4.
I mean, this is doing it.
This is doing it 50-50.
It's doing it equal.
Well, no, ROI is figured out, it doesn't matter. It's return on investment, so it's a $4 unit. That's how we're doing it. Your ROI is how much return you make on $4 bet. Or actually, it's better to make it on a $5 unit, 3 on the high, 2 on the low. Anyway, you wind up at
$7,244.
That's
what you do, 10% as your capital goes up.
Yeah,
10% is just that, 10%. Otherwise, you're flat paying $100 or $30 or whatever. No, it's 10% of whatever it is. And if you lose, it's 10%. But you have an ROI. Now, there are more sophisticated ways of doing this. And Dick Mitchell has written some that actually have random number generators in there, and it'll run 100 races. But I once ran a million races. Just to see what we have. Well, I didn't stand there and watch it. I only didn't watch TV. But I also did it on a big machine, not on one of these. I still be waiting for one of these.
How much you make after that?
I don't remember.
So when you get this all figured out, there are two bets. When is your cutoff point on the odds? Number two?
Yeah, I'm using the fetching program that Bob Brady wrote based on Huey Moll's PIP. And basically what Huey is saying is that we're going to bet an entry, two horses. We're going to make our own entry. Most people are used to betting on entries, so they bet an entry. What he says is you accept 3 to 2 on your entry. If you accept a 50% return on investment, 3 to 2, in other words, your horse, you're going to bet 4, you must get back 6. If you can't get that back, you don't make the bet. Now, if one horse is 4 to 5, the other horse is going to have to be like 18 to 1 or something to make the bet. You may wind up betting $94 on one and 6 on another. But we have a program that is only obviously available for little handhelds. You punch in the odds and it tells you. And if it tells you it's below 50% return on investment, now, if you don't have that, Huey will sell you the equivalent on a little laminated card for $5, or you can just do kind of down and dirty and just look at it and say, okay, what do I need to bet on this to make the fact?
That's where I run into a problem. I have a problem with non-spam betting. I can't tell what the place is going to be.
Let me tell you the answer to that. When I used to play when I started, 75 years, no TV screen, no looking at the token board, and a phony second line it was just to cause you to change your bets and make them more money. But I was an ostrich, I was scared to death. I bet them all, regardless of what the odds were. I bet the top two horses, regardless of the odds. Now, if you come back in the evening, quit standing here like I call the race at Las Vegas. And their heads up on the stretch end, they come to the wire and it's Josephine by 7.5. I always got our heads apart to stretch. And you think, oh my God, they're battling. And then the horse wins by 6. 7, 8, 9 wins. What I did was just bet them as they lay. What I found was that sometimes if I put 28 and 12 on a race, I'd get back $18. I'd lose 2. But I had the marvelous ego satisfaction of having picked the winner.
That's good. Which is important. That's my problem. I win, but I come on a loss.
All right. what I found out. If you play them all the same, don't let that disturb you. The next time that even odds horse is going to go off at 4-1, the one that's on the board is even. Or 5-2, 2-1. They're going off way over. It all equalizes out of the end to your advantage.
This was happening at Bay Meadows because we weren't getting the picture. They got a 5-2 morning line horse that walks in for a $23 with a $58 quarrel. If I would know this, I would be everywhere with that horse. I couldn't believe it. 5-2 morning line. I come in, he's 23, they got a $58 quarrel, and I got him for 20 and 20 in the cumin. Oh my. But then they picture, yeah, suddenly the picture's back, and now you can.
The only problem with the week, some of our people are found in Bay, watching Bay, they're watching Bay Meadows when they.
Yeah.
And so they look at their horse, oh my God, and they get all. And they get mixed up. Jimmy Bradshaw doesn't like the look anymore. And he bets the horse off the program, off of what he sees on the tote board, and not on the walls number. And if they take the bet, they shouldn't take it, but they sometimes do. And especially if that's not a winner in one of the previous races, you can still bet the first at Belmont, as long as you don't bet the winner in the first at Belmont. Or, and he's betting things like that. What I like to do is watch the track the first few races, see how it's run, ask my brother in Romano how it's running. And I'll look now. I used to couldn't stand to look. Now I'm old and grizzled, I can look. But anyway, when you obviously see you can't make any money in the race, stay out of it. If you have an even odds and a 9-1, I would put all my money for the even odds horse out of the place, because that place is 70% of the time, and play my 9-1 across the board. Shift the money around. If the even odds comes in, he makes you a little bit of your money back.
Any do's and don'ts in betting in Las Vegas as far as how much you can bet on one board?
Oh, be careful.
Spread
it around.
Yeah, he'll tell you.
When they say key, you know you asked for two for the wrong
horse. Yeah, I'd go to five or six different places and two or three different windows. If you hit $100, they're gonna lock up money at the biggest one. See,
well, the Hilton will take $100, they'll give you a full check on it for $100. But you know, you gotta figure what you wanna do. If you're an exotic player, now you gotta go back to the Stardust, because the Stardust is giving you full odds on doubles and Qs and exactas for the first 10. So it's going up. The Hilton is the first two. Caesars is max. Caesars is 100-1, blah blah blah. That's it, but they'll take some higher bets over there because Eddie Clark will go for something. I don't know, he'll let you use it. But it's like finding a stockbroker that meets your thing. My thing is baseball. This is my hobby. My thing is baseball. I got to look for a dying line. There's no way in the world for what I bet on baseball. I'm going to pay 15 cents, and some joints go to 20 cents. It's all arithmetic. You're dealing in arithmetic here. If you think it's more than that, you're for a surprise.
This is changing because there's so much competition over there. We do have one client in Las Vegas who bets at a $2,000 level. And recently he's been doing fairly well. He hasn't gotten cut off yet.
He's sustained because he's at that level. Why would they cut him off? They want him at that level.
Well,
you got to make your arrangement at that level.
Yeah.
If you're going to come in and tell you, I got some 4-5 shot going to New York in the feature race where they win 85% of the time and I want to bet them to show, they're going to laugh at you. But if you tell them, I'm a $2,000 steady 8 race a day better, and you put your money where your mouth, they're going to sustain you because they're going to get you anyhow sooner or later. I understand, but they know that. You don't understand. They're making a net 2.5% of every dollar that goes through there. So even in the race that you don't win, they're paying somebody off with your money for a while till you get your money back. And it's never their money. It's always your money when you win. Because if anybody thinks it's their money, borrow me $20 of their money. They don't want to give it to me. It's always your money.
Yeah.
You lose and win, you ain't your money.
The best overall advice is don't be conspicuous. Now, if you make an arrangement to be a $2,000 better, you've made an arrangement. Now you are marked. Try never to get marked by going and making those kinds of arrangements.
Remember one thing: when you get a $5,000 ticket, be prepared to start signing those government warranties. And I don't want nobody auditing me, though.
Yeah.
I have no ego trip for
you. We've had two places kick us out of it, as a group. The last one kept this lens come back for the second time because Glenn Smock was knocking off $500,000 in baseball bets for a client. Glenn's not doing it for a client. Well, that client starts losing and he's not putting that kind of money through. They're not proud of a ticket next year. They don't think.
They had their first two minus days at the Aladdin that they've ever had when we were there in the horse book.
And the racebook manager became a client.
And the racebook manager did become a client, yeah.
Well, he doesn't know anything anyhow. He threw me out the first day.
Well,
they told them that they started out the first day there. They said you could get the full double for $2. And my wife and I are there. I said, well, what if we each buy five tickets? He says, I'll call security, which he did because my first horse paid $60.
Was it Tony?
I forgot, it was a gray haired fellow.
Oh, well, that's the guy they fired.
That's the guy, yeah. Well, anyhow, the security guard came in as we were walking out. They drove the car behind us out the door, and it was the last I was in there. And then I met Jinji Yasuda because then you can't bet his horses over there. And he camped my wife and I says, for the show to go see that Oba Oba show over there because he plays across the street at the Hilton. He won't play there. He can't.
And to me, these kinds of stories are an inspiration. Because when some guy tells me, somebody says in your seminar, if I get some stupid ass up there and tell us how he wins, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear information from Tom Broad. I'm going to make it fair. I'd rather hear an hour of a guy telling me how much money he wins and how he does it than listen to an hour of information of the best part. Because that inspires me. I know it's being done. You know, the biggest problem I had was meeting a winner. I never met a winner until 1976. That was Sam Sedgwick. Sam won. He went to Caliente. He win. He better make all these bets, get drunk, and then send a runner out to collect for him. He won. I watched him every day win. Yeah, now I know it can be done. If it can be done, I'll do it. If it can't be done, you have that feeling of, is this just all a myth? But seeing it done, hearing stories of guys who do it on a consistent basis, especially when colorfully told of the New York accent.
Chicago
accent. What do I know?
What's the recent comments about how to bet exactly?
Okay, bet exactly.
Not win betting.
Okay, if you're going to bet exactness or any other thing, you're going to have a separate bank. You have to have a separate bank. Okay, you must know your win proficiency. I would suggest, all mathematicians will tell you I'm dead wrong, it's not the way to do it, that you box three horses. Not boxing three horses, it will cause you to get heart attacks and anxiety attacks and all sorts of things because the horse you left out invariably keys me back. Now, Dick Mitchell disagrees with me. He's got some Mickey Mouse thing to do odds. Problem invariably, but neither one of them win money make on the exact thoroughly. Very may have done it. Harness. It's theoretical, it's mathematically sound, but it doesn't work. You take the three best horses and you learn how to play exactly from our 55% solution book, which is the three horses most likely to win are not most likely to produce winning place horses. You've got to find a place, make a place model, understand counter energy, the relationship between counter energy and APV to the place horse, and place energy as counter energy to the winner. Most of the time, the winner and the show horse have the same energy pattern in the second place. However, you will also find tracks where 26% of the time, your place horse is your second best win energy horse. Find out if it's that way. He's stopping at that.
I don't like the way exotics. I can't control the. I can't control the arithmetic of the payoff. If it's a lack once in a while, well, George will tell you, I'll sit there, I'll pay it. Yeah, just give me the winners. Let the winners roll. Yeah.
This, of course, is, if you're in Vegas, I can't resist putting all this because I've made a study of getting the place horse. All you do is you get that manual and you make a study of getting the place horse. You treat getting the place horse with the same amount of intensity that you treat getting the winner.
That's the problem. I get too tired after I do the one, I'm too lazy to do the other one. That's all.
Well, I, on the other hand, make my expenses on Facebook, just place betting. Because I got an uncanny ability to place a show. In fact, I was showing off to somebody's pretty wife, and she said, she went to Jimmy, she said, Jimmy, who's going to win this race? And he'd give it a couple of words. You do all right. I said, hey, stop being so, having this Alamo mentality, all you Southwesterners have. It's not good. Let me show you how to make some real money. So I picked her out the show horse, an 8-straight race. I was showing off, but that's pretty much what I can do. And you can do too if you make this deep a study of it as I did. Show horse is usually an even-faced horse with a wind profile, but not enough total energy to win. So it has an even profile that generally characterizes the wind. Place horse, best described in that 55% solution. Now, when you get to 55% on paper, play them as if you were betting ahead of time, you don't pay any money in. When you hit 55, now you can do it on 45, but why not go for broke? You get 55%.
Unfortunate choice of words.
Huh?
Go for broke.
Go for something.
Go for
place. Get 55%. Now, make your...